today and worship God in spirit and truth. And it's certainly good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. I hope that the lesson this morning was beneficial to you. I appreciate the good comments that I received on that. That's always encouraging. I appreciate you for saying the things you did. I told you this morning that tonight we would talk about a topic that I don't know if I've heard a sermon that has been completely devoted to this topic. And this is a topic that came up in a recent conversation that I had with a gentleman, he and his wife and some others that are members of a Pentecostal group called Church of God. It's called Refuge Church of God here in London. And so they were out visiting the community and had opportunity to talk with them. And I appreciate that, and hopefully that will lead to some other studies, I hope. But he had mentioned a statement that he's not the first one that I've heard made this statement, and I've heard of individuals believing this, but he was talking in the course of our conversation. We were talking about obeying the gospel and what one must do in order to be saved. And he made this statement, that is baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And of course, I mentioned to you this morning that this individual claimed that he has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so I put the title, part of the title, on the board this evening, baptism. A couple of them made mention and said, well, I've heard lessons on baptism, and I don't doubt that at all. But I want us to turn in Ephesians chapter 4 and read verses 3 through 6. And then we're going to get to the passage that's really going to set the stage for our study tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, begin with verse 6, a passage that you know so very well. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. Now you've read that. You've no doubt studied that. You've heard lessons on that. And I suggest to you that there's nothing difficult to be understood about that. That's just a simple passage. It's not hard to see the things that Paul is writing to these Ephesians about. I'm talking about the fact that there is one body and one Spirit and so forth as you go through the text. But that's not the baptism that I want to devote the lesson on tonight. I want to talk about the baptism that is mentioned by John in the book of Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, I want you to notice what John says, and we're going to begin with verse 7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And watch verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In verse 11, you have three baptisms that are mentioned. John's baptism, he's baptizing in water. And he talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit and a baptism of fire. Now, oftentimes, holiness people kind of jam all that together. And I suppose they just have always heard it that way, and they think that it's just one and the same. And so they'll say, like this gentleman did, who was nice, and we talked and had a good conversation, oh, that's the Holy Spirit baptism and fire. As though Holy Spirit baptism equates with a baptism of fire. It does not equate. It's not one and the same. And so tonight, I want us to think about for just a little while about baptism of fire. Maybe you've heard a lesson on baptism of fire. I don't know. I can't recall having ever heard a sermon particularly on baptism of fire. Comments made about it, reading about it, but not so much really a sermon about baptism of fire. Some say, well, that's what the apostles are seeing. I don't know what we read to come to that conclusion, but I'll show you that that's not what they receive. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. The first one I just want to simply talk about what baptism means that you're very well familiar with. It means to immerse, to submerge, to make fully wet, or to make well. That means to plunge beneath. We understand that when we baptize somebody, we don't sprinkle, do we, Blaine? We don't pour water on individuals, but we immerse individuals completely into the water. That's baptism. And a lot of people today, they do sprinkle and they do pour, but they say, well, we baptize. Well, no, they don't. Because you can sprinkle all you want, pour all you want, have never baptized somebody if that's what you do. Because baptism always means an immersion. Now, I like what one preacher says. It makes a very good point, and I'll borrow it from him. That there's not one drop of water in the word baptism. Because baptism doesn't mean water. Baptize means to immerse, and water is the element into which an individual is immersed. And the Bible makes mention of a number of baptisms. But you've got to let the context determine what he's talking about being baptized into. And a lot of people just simply don't take the time to do that. But it means, again, to immerse, submerge, to make full aware. Like the eunuch in Acts 8, 38 and 39, he caused the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, which would make no sense if he could have just had water poured on his head or some water sprinkled on him. But they went down into the water, Philip baptized him, and they came up out of the water. In Colossians 2, 12, for by baptism we are buried with Christ. I've shared with you a number of times. I worked for a good number of years for 3 funeral homes. We buried a lot of people. One of them was at least over 300 bodies a year. That's a good number of people. Not one time did we just go and sprinkle some dirt at the cemetery or pour some dirt, but we always left the grave after having completely buried them in the earth. So it's a burial. It's a planting, according to Romans chapter 6 and then verse 5. And the Bible says that John was baptizing near or close unto Aden, because there was much water there, John chapter 3 and in verse 23. So you can't get away from the fact that to be baptized is to be immersed. And that's why we immerse people rather than pour and sprinkle. If I were to ask you, how many baptisms does the Bible teach? What would your response be? Well, you know, we just read one passage in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 where there were 3 baptisms that were mentioned. I just read to you from the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5 that there is one baptism. You say, preacher, how on earth can there be 3 baptisms mentioned in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 and then Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit just like Matthew did and say that there is one baptism? The Bible teaches of 6 baptisms in the New Testament. And it makes mention of them in the New Testament. All of them with the exception of 2 took place in the New Testament. We'll go through those. Might want to get out a piece of paper and jot these down. That's the thing about baptisms in the New Testament. Don't lose sight of our topic, baptism of fire. I told you there are 6 baptisms. Hold my feet to the fire on that. I'm going to give you the passages that talk about it. First one that I'll put up here. It's not the first one mentioned in the New Testament, but it's one of the baptisms mentioned in the New Testament. It's the baptism of Moses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. The Bible talks about John's baptism. We just made mention of that. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And in the book of Acts chapter 19 and in verse 3, there are some individuals who weren't baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins because they'd only heard about the baptism of John. And so we read about Moses' baptism, we read about John's baptism, we read about a baptism of suffering that the Lord talked about in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. One of the two sons of Zebedee's mother said, "Grant my sons that they may sit one in thy kingdom, one on the left hand, one on the right, and not mine to give. Did we give to those for whom it is prepared?" And he talks about, "Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And he had one to accomplish, and that was an immersion in suffering. Then we read number 4 about the Holy Spirit baptism. People think that they're baptized with the Holy Spirit today. And that's not true. If you were baptized with the Holy Spirit, you'd be able to do what they were able to do in the New Testament and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11, John makes mention of that. And Jesus to the apostles has said it in Acts chapter 1 verse 5, "Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days since," and that's fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And so, you have 4 baptisms so far that are mentioned. Someone still says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 5, the Bible says that there is one baptism. Well, you also have a number 5, I have to abbreviate this, but a baptism of the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, when the Lord has commissioned the apostles to go forth and baptize individuals after having taught them, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And of course they went forth and did that, Acts chapter 2 and following. And then you have a baptism of fire. I want to suggest to you before we go on that that is a baptism or immersion that you don't want. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. There's 6 baptisms in the New Testament. I put it this way because if you're making a little chart, it's handy for you to make a chart with 3 columns in it. And in the first one, you can just write the word "pass." And in this last one, you can write the term "future," lake of fire. I'll talk to you about that in a moment. And then this middle column, you put the word "present." That's why Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could say in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 that there is but one baptism. That's the only baptism that we baptize with today. That's an immersion into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. An immersion in water. Don't miss that point. That's why there is but one baptism, though the New Testament talks about 6 baptisms. So I ask you a question. Were the apostles baptized with fire? And see, there's differing ideas about that. Some shaking, some nodding. I want to talk with you about that. The apostles were not baptized with fire. You say, "Preacher, now wait just a moment." When Jesus promised the apostles that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and I'll get these to you many times, John 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 13, I just gave you one a moment ago, Acts chapter 1, and then verse 5. He never did promise them that they would be baptized with fire, did he? They were going to be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit. But someone says, "But now hold on, the Bible says, doesn't it, that they were baptized with fire in Acts chapter 2. It does not say that. So while you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2 and notice what the Bible says, begin with verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And while you're turning there, I'm not an English teacher, don't claim to be. But pay attention in the Bible when you run into what's called a simile. The words "lie" and "as." That's very important. Many times God is pictured as something. Not saying that He is, but as something. Jesus is pictured as something many times. But it doesn't mean that He is. But as, it's making a comparison. Now notice these similes in Acts chapter 2, begin with verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they," that is the apostles, "were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as, no one underscore the word as in your Bible, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And watch verse 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, different tongues, which were different legitimate languages that people could understand. Cloven tongues, now watch this, like as of fire. Now what appeared unto them? Cloven tongues. What did it look like? Fire. Was it fire? No, it appeared as fire. And it sat upon each of them. Now watch verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Does the text say that they were baptized with fire? Shake or not? No. But what appeared unto them was as fire. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when folks today say, well, that's a Holy Spirit fire baptism, get them to put their finger on it. They'll not be able to do that. Now, most of the time, at least individuals I've talked with that say that, are very deeply genuine about what they say. They believe that with every ounce of their being, like I believe, that what I believe is the truth. And they believe what they believe to be the truth. So don't say any of these things unkind, but we've got to help people see that. That the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, no one in the New Testament, if I'm wrong about this, you correct me. No one in the New Testament was ever said to be baptized in fire. Anybody know a passage where they were? I couldn't recall one. What about immersion in fire? By the way, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John is making a very general statement. He said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." But the text says, when he saw the Sadducees and Pharisees come to his baptism, he began to talk and had this conversation, this discourse that he had. Everyone did not receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but yet John said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." But that was only promised to the apostles, and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a like manner to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. I think is the best way to say that. And an immersion or a baptism in fire. So I'll give you some passages that talk about what will come to those who obey not the gospel. And all of these you know. I'm tying them together for you so you know about this baptism of fire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God," or from the Lord, "and from the glory of His power." In Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 and 46, when the Lord gave that picture of the judgment, notice what He says. Matthew 25, 41 and 46, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." In verse 46, "He shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." You can't get away from what the Lord said in Mark chapter 9, verses 43, and we'll read all these. I'm going to give these to you, and you can underscore them. Take a note, whatever you want to do. "Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Verses 43 and 44, then 46 and 48. Then over in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, we'll not read all of that. But John recorded, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in them," or in it, "and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Every passage we talked about underscores that a baptism of fire is at the end. for those who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If not, why not? Say, preacher, you spent all this time saying all what you did when really you could have underscored that or summed all that up in reading one verse. And you're exactly right. In Matthew chapter 3, you go back to our text. I can't make it any plainer than what the Lord did in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to read again, for instance, verse 11, and then one more verse. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now watch the next verse that I took the long way around, but we could have read the next verse and summed it all up. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But now watch this. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And what does he mean when he says he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire? The fire that we've read about over and over, that was unquenchable, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And that equates, ladies and gentlemen, to the baptism of fire in verse 11. If it does not, give me a reason after service why it cannot be that way and must not be that way. Have you obeyed the gospel? And you might avoid the lake of fire. I hope you have. There's only one way to obey the gospel of Christ, and that's by hearing it. Romans 10, verse 17, believe it. John 8, 24, repenting of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and 10, verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. You want to be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.